would please get out a Bible, some of the blue pew Bibles in front of you or your own perhaps, and stand for the reading of the Word of God. We begin this Holy Week from a reading, John 18, beginning in verse 28. John writes, "Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, 'What accusation do you bring against this man?' They answered him, 'If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you.' Pilate said to them, 'Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law.' The Jews said to him, 'It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death.' This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. There is no greater event in human history, no event more polarizing than the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A death and resurrection that has been preached and proclaimed for 2,000 years. Still just as polarizing today as it was then. The Apostle Paul, when he began to preach as a missionary sent to build up the church, he preached the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as he preached it, Acts 17 tells us that as he proclaimed the resurrection of the dead, there were some who mocked him, called him a babbler. And yet others said, "We will hear this again." The resurrection, polarizing. Even on that day where they led him from Caiaphas's house to Pilate's headquarters, there were those who mocked him, those who were skeptical, those who were doubters, those who hated him. And there were his followers, his disciples, believers, those who loved him. This Holy Week, as we begin our celebration, which is an interesting word to use, our celebration of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are confronted with these questions, Pilate's questions. As he was confronted with this rabble, with this crowd, this angry, hateful crowd, and this man, Jesus Christ, whom he knew nothing about. And so today we are confronted with his first question. A question that he posed to the high priests and the Pharisees, and a question that he poses to skeptics everywhere, but a question that I think you will also find is for you and for me. What accusation do you bring against this man? It is a question that is both for skeptics and a question for believers. What accusation do you bring against this man? A question for skeptics. You see, Jesus was accused of sins he did not commit. And so Pilate, sensing Jesus' innocence, he asked this question early in the morning to the high priest. He asked him, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" And their answer is not a good one. Look with me in verse 30. It says, they answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have handed him over to you." It was a non-answer. In other words, they didn't really have a good answer. It was almost as if even in their hatred, early in the morning, they knew deep down they really didn't have a case against him. At least a case that would stand up in Roman court. You see, they had not had a fair trial. They were not impartial. They had an agenda right from the very start, and their agenda was singular. It was to put Jesus to death and to do so at all costs. And their method was to use the system, the Roman courts, to send him to a Roman cross. It is amazing to consider their own blindness as they pursued this kind of hatred, this kind of sinful agenda. Look with me at verse 28. It says that this band, this rabble, these high priests, it says, when they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters, it was early morning, and they themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. It's amazing, isn't it? This group of men, so blinded by their hatred, yet they had the presence of mind not to enter into the headquarters of Pilate and violate the Passover law. They're so concerned with keeping the Passover law that they fail to recognize that they are leading the Passover lamb to the slaughter. And so here they are, hypocrites of all hypocrites, not recognizing what it is that they are doing in the midst of their sin. And they've come to this man, Pilate, and they've brought Jesus to him. So what was the accusation? What is this accusation that they brought against this man? Well, for one, Jesus is the Son of God. He was then, he is now, he has always been. And so they accused him of blasphemy. It was they who was the blasphemous ones. They were the ones committing blasphemy by putting God on trial. Accused him of being a traitor because he is, was, and always will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yet it is they who were the traitors that day. They who are the ones who are trying to bring Jesus down from his throne. And yet Pilate, somehow in the midst of all of this, recognized Jesus' innocence. What accusation could you possibly bring against this man? Pilate recognized it then, and in John 19, the very next chapter, he recognized it again. It says in verse 4, Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." And when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." Pilate recognized that Jesus was innocent. He was sinless. And yet these men, because they did not believe that he was the Son of God, they accused him falsely. They accused him wrongly. And an innocent man was sent to the cross. An innocent man condemned to die. We have a word for that. It's called injustice. Greatest act of injustice the world has ever known. An innocent man condemned to die on the cross. 1 John 3, John writes, "You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin." 1 Peter 2, 22, "He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. But he continued entrusting himself to the one who judges justly." Jesus was sinless, and yet a sinless man was condemned to die. He was accused wrongly, falsely, and he is still falsely accused today. Skeptics, doubters, accusing Jesus of blasphemy, of treason, not wanting to proclaim him as God, not wanting to bow down to him as king. What accusation do you have against this man? Not only a question for the skeptic, but this morning, it's a question for you and for me. A question for the Christian. You see, Jesus was accused of every sin that you and I have committed. Our greed, our lust, our pride, our anger, our hatred. He was accused and condemned to death, not because of his sins, but because of ours. Verse 31, it says that Pilate told them, "Take him yourself and judge him by your own law." And the Jews said, "Well, it's not lawful for us to put him to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. Jesus had already spoken this word before in John chapter 12. He said, "When I am lifted up, I will draw all people to himself." What he's referring to is when he is lifted up on the cross, he will draw all people to himself. It was both a prophecy and a promise. You see, it is often said that the cross of Christ is scandalous, but it's not just scandalous because an innocent man died. No, it's scandalous because an innocent died, a death that you and I should have died. Yes, it is true that he committed no sin, but Peter goes on and says he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. It was our sins that put him there. It was for our sins he was condemned. It was for our sins he was punished. It was for our sins that he stood accused. And so Pilate poses a question to you and to me as well. What accusation do you bring against this man? What accusations have you put on him? What crimes have you committed that you have brought into the courtroom to be added to his record? What sins have you placed upon his shoulders so that he could lift them up high upon the cross? Your greed, your envy, your worry, your fear, your doubt, your anger, your hatred, your doubts. What accusation do you bring against this man? It was him who bore your accusations on the cross. This great act of injustice, the greatest act of injustice the world has ever known, was also the greatest act of justice given to you and given to me. By his unjust death, you and I have been justified. This is what Paul means when he says, 2 Corinthians 5, "For our sake he made him to be no sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And so as we spend a few moments in silence, reflecting and praying now, I ask you this question again. What accusation do you bring against this man? I want you to know that he has taken your accusation. And he died for it so that you might have life, you could be set free. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.